How's everybody doing tonight? Good, good. Well, let's open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you are good. And Father, we're available here tonight to hear your voice and to be led by your direction and your steps, Father. We pray, Father, right now for all the storms that are going on in the natural realm, Lord. We take authority over every bit of that hurricane, Father, that's bringing any type of destruction, and we just pray that it cease and desist right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray protection over all those that have already been affected, and we pray, Lord, that no one else will be affected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if I'm going to have a title, and I did have to give Silas one, so I was glad that I had one, I would say, how do we stay strong in the battle? Has anyone in this church ever been in a battle?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then we're in good company, right? So I'm going to read Psalms 18, 30 through 40. Yeah, you amen that? Okay. It was more of a, oh, yeah. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights, and he trains my hands for battle. My arm can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise, and they fell beneath my feet. You armed me, Lord, with strength for the battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight and destroyed my foes. That's some pretty powerful stuff. So in the times we are living in, we need to be in preparation, right? God has a plan and a strategy, and we need to follow it. Just like the storms that are hitting in the natural. I did a Facebook post about that today. And we can discuss the storms, and we can say, oh, no, look, they're getting hit there. A storm went through and all the trees are blown down. Or we can begin to ask God, what's going on? Because I truly believe the storms we see in the natural realm are the same things that are happening in the spirit realm. I believe there is storms hitting right now in the spirit realm, very similar to the hurricanes in Florida. But we have nothing to fear, do we? Because why? Because we're armed for battle. What I see, though, and part of the problem is too many people are using carnal weapons instead of spiritual weapons. So 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 talks about that. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So we have to be very aware of the fact that the enemy targets our minds. That's where the battlefield is. And if anybody likes Joyce Meyer's, we know the book, The Battlefield of the Minds. And so, you know, we could be going along and everything could be doing fine, just like in the natural, when we could be going along and the sun shines and then all of a sudden dark clouds come and we end up with a tornado. Well, it's the same in our spiritual walk. Everything can be going along fine, and then suddenly we start getting attacked in our mind. Or suddenly we get sucker punched by the enemy. Al today actually got a sucker punch by the enemy. But guess what? We came together and we took authority over that argument in his mind, and the enemy had to leave. And so it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we have to learn to take authority as soon as it starts. We need to get rid of fleshly warfare and begin to fight our real enemy, which is the enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the devil's schemes. It is against rulers, against authorities, against powers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that's what we're dealing with when I talk about the war and the storms in the spirit. In the spiritual realm, can you imagine if we seen what was going on? I mean, people are, it's like there's a fight up there going on. You know, I can actually see those angels punching and undercut. Is that right? Uppercut. I can see that. I can imagine the fight and the battle in the spirit realm. So we have to realize we don't fight against Marianne and James. We don't fight against Holly. We fight against the powers of darkness. We have to be very careful that when we get offended, and I know there's not one person in this church body that has ever been offended, right? Or there's not one person in this church body that's ever offended anybody else. So we have to be very careful with that, because we take those offenses and we begin to battle against the person. And that's not going to get us anywhere. Our battles must be fought in the spiritual realm, or we will begin to devour one another. Little by little, we'll begin to devour one another. And sometimes what happens is when the battle's going on, we become maybe jealous of somebody flowing in the gift. We become maybe competitive when we hear somebody that sings better than us. I mean, doesn't that almost sound ridiculous? But it happens, doesn't it? Because we're fighting in the flesh, and we begin to look at one another instead of looking at our real enemy, which is the enemy. We need to know our authority when we're in the battle. These are different ways we can stay strong. And we all know this. This isn't new. By reading and speaking the word of God. And not only reading it, but speaking it, declaring it, memorizing it. So when something comes against us like it did Al, I begin to speak the word over him. Immediately, we begin to take authority over the enemy by speaking the word. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And every tongue that rises up in judgment, God condemns. That's our inheritance. So we need to jump on it. Don't wait on it. Don't wait for it to battle, the battle to start. Don't wait for it for your friend to come knocking on the door and say, "Are you okay?" No. This is what happened, and I cannot stand that girl that sits in the second row at church. I know none of you have ever done that. Know how to pray effectively. We don't need gossip prayers. We need Holy Spirit-led prayers. I led prayer for years and years and years, and one of the hardest things was having a prayer group that didn't get into gossip. Because the reason we do that is because we get to know each other so well that we begin to go, "Do you really think she needs that prayer because of this? Or do you think she needs it because she did this?" We have to be very careful. And I'm not blaming anybody, because we've all done it. We've all taken it into our own hands and began to pray the way we think we should pray. And we get involved with one another to the point that we think it's a kinship. It isn't about a kinship. It's about praying in the spirit and having the right mind and heart towards every single person we pray for. Intercessory prayer groups are so important. I believe they're the backbone of the church. And the pastor needs intercessory prayer groups. We need to know how to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need to make our worship about the heart. And I think Pastor talked about that Sunday. We need to fall in love with Jesus as we admire him in worship. When we worship, it should be all about an audience of one. It should be all about him and how we feel when we're worshiping. You know what? I think we do need to get oozy-goosey goosebumps. I love that. I mean, some people say, "Well, if you get goosebumps, that's the flesh." No, I think it's the Holy Ghost. I think when the Holy Ghost grabs a hold of our hearts when we're worshiping him, we truly feel that love from Jesus Christ. And then we love back to him as we worship and praise him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? He loves that. He loves to have us worship him. We need to know how to speak the name of Jesus with authority. You know, I've always had quite a large mouth, a big voice. And it used to really bother me because everybody it seems like I hung around with was really quiet and meek. And when they would pray, it would be very sweet. I tried to do that and I couldn't. So instead, I'm going to be who I am and I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus with authority. Now, it doesn't mean if you speak quiet that you don't have authority. But if you have authority by speaking loud, by all means, do it. If you have authority by speaking sweet, by all means, do it. But speaking the name of authority isn't about the volume of our voice. It's about knowing that Jesus Christ is going to do what we ask him to do according to his word. So we need to know the authority of Jesus Christ when we speak his name. We need to know when and how to fast and pray. Because we can pray, and that's wonderful. But when we really know we need to fast and pray, then we need to do it. And we need to do it effectively. And instead of saying, well, you know, every once in a while I'm going to fast. I might skip a dessert once a month. I might not have that piece of bread on a Tuesday. You're looking into my heart right now. There's some truth in that one. But no, we need to make it a lifestyle. We need to make it a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. It can't be a ritual. It can't be a duty. It needs to be a lifestyle. And you know what? There are times maybe you just give up dessert for the month. There are times maybe that you give up Facebook for a day. It might be that you give up coffee or maybe coffee with cream. It doesn't have to be as hard as you think. But then, as you slowly do it, you can progressively get more and more and more and more. And it's very important to fast and pray. Yes. Share your testimony. You know, these are all things I'm saying how we stay strong in the battle. Share your testimony to strengthen one another's faith. It is so important to share our testimony and tell people of what God has done. Because when God does it, we can say, it isn't anything about myself. Look what God did for my family. Look how God healed me. Look how God restored my marriage. Look how God brought my kids home when they were prodigals. That urges and strengthens other people to believe that God can do just about anything. So we need to share our testimonies. 7, we always need to be thankful. And not only thankful, but we need to speak of what we're thankful for. You know, we have so much to be thankful for in America. We have so much to be thankful for in Living Waters Chapel. We have so much to be thankful for Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for that we can still come inside this church building, raise our hands, shout hallelujah, preach from the pulpit, sing. There's places that don't get to do that anymore. We have so many things to be thankful for. Now, that's all the stuff that's, I think everybody pretty much knows, but it's just a reminder. But now I want to talk about the watchman on the wall. The Hebrew meaning, the Hebrew meaning for watchman is, and this is what our illustration and our prophetic act is doing. The Hebrew meaning for watchman is one who looks out. Look it. Look out, Al. Very good. One who spies. And one who watches. Now, even though we're making this funny and all that, but you know what? That's what the Lord said. Give an illustration. Get your binoculars and begin looking and showing what it's like to really be the watchman on the wall. Right. We need to have eyes to see. We need to have a heart to feel. We need to have a mouth to speak. Yeah. Isaiah 62:6-7 says, I have posted watchmen on the walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest and give him no rest till he establishes it and makes her the praise of the earth. Does anybody here not know what a watchman is? And don't be embarrassed if you don't. Good. In the Old Testament, watchmen sounded the warning to ancient Israel. They sometimes were military personnel, and they would stand with their weapons on the city walls, watching for invasions that would try to come into the city. So they would sound the alarm, and they would let everybody know the enemy's coming. Prophets were also watchmen who watched for attacks from the evil forces of the enemy, or maybe would warn wicked or evil people to turn from their sins and repent. Not particularly a fun job. But back then, if prophets did not obey God and give the warning to the person that was in sin, and if that person died without them telling them, that blood was on their hands. So it's a very, very serious responsibility to be a watchman or a prophet. And generally they go hand in hand. Not everybody that's a watchman is a prophet, but a lot of times they go hand in hand. Thank goodness for Jesus coming and giving us mercy and grace. Because prophets operating today don't get slain or don't get, you know, the bloodshed's not on their hands, but there's still the responsibility of being obedient to God. Prophets not only warn of evils to come, they also tell of moves of the Spirit. Watchmen, same thing, watchman, prophet, not only warn of evils to come, but they also tell of moves of the Spirit. They see revivals coming. They see when healings are coming. They see when restorations are coming, when blessings are coming for our churches, for our nations, for our individual churches. It's so important, as Al did, to begin watching and seeing what's happening in the Spirit. Just like the weatherman today had to start watching for the hurricane. Which way is it going? Is the wind's going to be 50 miles an hour in St. Pete and then get stronger down here in Clearwater? It's the same thing as a watchman. We need to be watching in the Spirit at what's going on. We need to be warned. And here's my question. Where are the watchmen of today? I believe Pastor James is a watchman. I believe I am a watchman. And I believe there's probably several other people out there that are watchmen that I don't know personally, but I believe you probably are too. Who is willing to stand up and watch, pray, stay humble, and speak what God is saying to the church, to our cities, to our families? Because you know what? It isn't something that you go like this, oh, me, God, make me a watchman, God, it's so fun, God. No, you have to know God's calling you as a watchman. You have to know it's a calling. I just want to give a few examples from my own life of being a watchman over the years and learning how to flow in sync with God and not being scared out of my mind to give people warnings. Because in my natural, I used to be very shy. Very uncomfortable speaking to people, very uncomfortable prophesying or teaching, and I definitely didn't feel comfortable going to somebody and giving them a warning. So early on, when I was a young woman of God, I began to spend many hours with God in prayer. And I'm not tooting my own horn on this at all. But I spent time with God listening. And he began to tell me things. And he began to show me things through the Word of God. And I would go to my late husband and I'd say, what do you think about this? Is this possible? Could this be true? And we started praying together. We were already in church. We were in a form of leadership. But the gifts of the Spirit were starting to flow in our home. And so we would begin to pray. And just the two of us, I would begin to prophesy. And I would begin to say things that were going to take place and things that were going to happen to people. And I had no idea what God was going to do with all this. So after years of preparation, I began to flow in the Spirit of prophecy within the corporate body. Then it progressed to moves of God, and it progressed to giving warnings to people. One of the warnings I got that I was pretty young in the Lord at the time, but I had been flowing for quite a while, but it wasn't something I was ready to do, but we were at a church, And I think we were the associate pastors at the time. And we were very, very respectful of our pastor. We really liked him. We had a good friendship. And they came to us and said they were going to buy a pizza business. He was a full-time minister. And of course, I'm thinking, oh, you know, cool. And everybody in the church was all excited for him. And I went into prayer and the Lord said, that pizza business is no. It's going to fail. And it's going to cause a lot of issues in the church. And I'm like, I'm not telling them. Randy, you tell them. I literally said that. You go to him. You're closer to him than I am. And Randy said, I'm not telling him. I'll go with you, but I'm not telling him. So we went. I prayed. I fasted. We went. And at that time, I had actually been teaching classes on hearing the voice of God in the church. But it was kind of funny because when I went to him after he allowed me to teach hearing the voice of God, he said, oh, okay, thanks, Jane. Well, they got the pizza business. It lasted about 1 year. It failed terribly financially, and it actually brought a scandal at the time upon the church because of some things that had happened. Did I feel good about that? No. Did I wish that upon the pastor? No. But it was the beginning of me being a watchman on the wall to the degree that God was having me give warnings. And they did end up okay. We stayed at the church, and it ended up okay. They came back. They got rid of the pizza business, and all those things worked out. Another incident was my late husband had a relative that he was very close to. That was a Christian, but he was living a life of dangerous lifestyle, very dangerous. He was proclaiming Christ. He had some Christ characteristics, but over here, he was living a very dangerous life. He was on the fence, teetering back and forth, back and forth. So we sat down, and we began to pray, and the Lord gave me another word about if he did not repent and get his lifestyle right, he was going to lose everything. Those are such serious matters that you literally want to run and hide. But I knew it had to be done. So we went to him, and he didn't particularly take it well. Who would, right? 1 year later, he lost his life and lost a lot of other things between that 1 year. This happened, this happened, this happened. The last thing was he lost his life. The last one I want to share, thank goodness, Al. No warnings for you. This is all about Randy's warnings, so praise God. Shout hallelujah. Amen. There you go. My late husband and I were ministers. Had been serving God for a long time. And like I said, I had been teaching classes on hearing the voice of God. And I was pretty confident, but not sure enough yet to say, you know, this is going to happen and you better watch out. But I would still be obedient to God. Well, one day I was in intercession for my late husband, and I kept hearing God say he's going to come home and say he wants to go snowmobiling, but he's in danger. And I'm thinking, oh, this can't be God. This just can't be God. So I kept praying. I was in intercession. I was travailing. It was heavy, heavy intercession. He hadn't told me yet he was going snowmobile. If you knew him, he was very charismatic and very stubborn. And he walks in the door and he says, I'm going snowmobiling tonight. Ugh. And I said, you can't. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, I have been in intercession all day. You can't go on that snowmobile. Something's going to happen. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, Jane, I will not live in fear. I'm going snowmobile. So I said to him, the last thing I said to him as he walked out the door, stay in an open field and don't get around any trees. 45 minutes later, I got a phone call from the hospital. He had wrapped his legs around a tree going 60 miles an hour, broke both his legs. I was so mad at him. I walked in that hospital room and he said, I'm sorry. I was so mad. So we had 2 years of rehabilitation, broken legs, wheelchair. And like I said, warnings are not fun, but they're needed. They're needed. We have to blow the trumpet when we know something's going on. We have to be watchful. We have to stay on the wall, and we have to warn people before destruction comes. Now, do you take everybody's warning? No. That's where the hard parts come in. That's where you have to have a trust between the leaders and yourself. That's where you have to know what is allowed in a church body and what isn't allowed in a church body. We know Pastor James and Mary Ann are all about the gifts of the Spirit flowing. We know that is not a problem. But we still have to know that it's okay to operate, right? So not every watchman is going to get up on the wall and give warnings. In fact, probably not very many will. But you can pray and be a watchman, and you can intercede for people. Doesn't mean you have to go to everybody and give a warning. I would suggest, and I'm sure Pastor will agree, if you ever got something that strong, go to him. Talk to him about it. Ask him. See what he says. Come into agreement to see, is this right? Should I go to this person with this serious matter? So every watchman is not a prophet, but a lot of watchmen are prophets. Just because you prophesy does not make you a prophet. I think everybody knows that. So we have to be careful about that. Each of us has an important part to play to fulfill our assignments on earth. As far as I'm concerned, Living Waters Chapel is a loud voice in this community. And it's a loud voice in the surrounding communities around us. Clear to Lapeer, where we live. Clear to Oxford. Clear to Emily City, where Diane lives. It isn't just Caro, is it? It's the surrounding areas. And our voice in the spirit realm is loud. Yes. Our voice is calling out to the communities. Yes. With a loud cry. Yes. Hear the voice of the Lord. Repent, turn from your wicked ways so that I can heal your land. Get your lives in order. Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. We are a voice, and we need to proclaim it. We need to decree it, and we need to quit fighting and battling within ourselves. We are going to mess up big time if we fight amongst ourselves. We are fighting spiritual warfare in heavenly places, and it's time for the enemy to come down. It's time for the enemy to take a seat in the back. It's time for the enemy to bow his knee at the name of Jesus. We are not messing around anymore. We are in a battle. We are in a battle for souls. We are in a battle to win this war. Well, now you know my voice is loud. There is battles to be won. There is enemies to be defeated. And we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to stay humble, but not passive. And that, to me, is kind of, because sometimes I get that messed up. Okay, stay humble, Jane. No, that's not staying humble. That's passive. That's getting run over. That's being stepped on. I've been stepped on just a little too much. And you know what? I'm kind of tired of it. I will stay humble because I'm too afraid of the great I am. I don't mess with things with him. Because I know greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And I know he has power. He has power. So we need to get our hearts right. We need to get in line. We need to know what our position is. I've also not only had those times of warnings, but I've been able to be a part of different moves of God over the years that have been so awesome. Whew, just about right. That have been so awesome. I have seen healings. I have seen marriages restored. I have seen salvations. One of my favorite things that I was a part of was a young adult group that we used to have in our home, where our home would be filled with young adults from age 18 to 30, and we would fill our home. They would be lining up on our stairway, and five of those young adults are in full-time ministry today. God is on the move. God has been on the move. And we're not behind. We're not falling behind, meaning we're not too late. This is time. This is the season. And Pastor James and Mary Ann are ready. They're ready. They're ready to lead us. But we got to be able to be led. It isn't all about being seen. It isn't all about standing up behind this pulpit. So I humbly say to you guys, I will submit to Christ and I will be obedient in whatever he asks me to do. I will be humble and stay under James and Mary Ann's guidance. I will love each and every one of you. But we need to stand together. We need to conquer what the enemy has been trying to do for way too long. Remember, he's under our feet. We're up here. He's under our feet. Don't get cocky with him, though. That's not the answer. Take authority over him, but don't get cocky. We are called to stay alert and to stay compassionate for the things of God. It's time we rise to the places that God has intended for each and every one of us. We need to take our places and prepare for the return of Christ. Amen.